Well, good morning. It is really wonderful to see such a good crowd here this morning. And we're thankful for the presence of each and every one. We do have some visitors. We're really glad that you can be with us here this morning to honor the God of heaven, who has blessed us with this opportunity to come together in his presence, to glorify his name, to engage in the worship that he's prescribed. As we talked about last week, this is a special blessing. And we are glad that we've been able to come together in the house of the Lord this day. We are living truly in strange times, times that are stressful. And for thousands of years, really, a passage that folks have gone to in times of stress is Psalm 23. We'd like to go there this morning. I think it will be extraordinarily helpful for us to focus on this passage, not only now, but at any time when we're going through difficulty individually or collectively. Here is a psalm that is familiar to most of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In 1918, the world was overrun not just with a war, but with a viral pandemic, a strain of H1N1 flu that later came to be known as the Spanish flu, was ravaging the entire world. 500 million people contracted it. 50 million people died from it. 675,000 people in the United States died from it. It came in three waves, 1918, 1919, 1920. It was especially difficult because it seemed to affect people in the ages from 20 to 40 much more than other viruses have. A young person in the prime of his life would catch the flu, show symptoms one day, and be dead the next. It happened in millions and millions of cases. In 1921, the year after it ended, my daddy was born. I'm thankful that my grandmother survived it, and my grandfather. Who knows the purposes of God in allowing these things to happen? Who knows the devices of Satan in trying to cause them? But this much I do know. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He provides for us, does he not? We see that in the 23rd Psalm. In fact, we could break down the Psalm into three sections. The Lord provides, the Lord protects, and the Lord preserves. Many people through the ages, as we've said, have looked to this psalm in times of stress. Abraham Lincoln read it to cure his blues. President Bush read it publicly to calm our nation after 9/11. David, who is writing it, I'm sure received a lot of comfort from it. He writes it as one who's been a shepherd, but he doesn't write it from the perspective of the shepherd. He writes it from the perspective of the sheep who are being cared for by such a shepherd. Let's think about this psalm together and see, first of all, that the shepherd provides. He provides for us a relationship with him. The Lord is my shepherd. The word Lord there may be translated in a few of your translations, Jehovah. It's God's personal name. It's the I Am, the name that God gave when he told Moses what his name was. I Am, Jehovah, Yahweh, He is my Lord. He belongs to me and I belong to Him. The word is there is interesting. The Lord is my shepherd. Present tense, continuing on tense. So this Lord who is the I Am, who just exists through eternity, who just is, He is also in all eternity my shepherd. He is my shepherd. He belongs to me and I to Him. In fact, David in Psalm 23 by inspiration will use a pronoun, personal pronoun, possessive for himself 17 times in this text to show his personal relationship with God, his personal experience with God. God, as we've talked about in previous lessons recently, God is up there. He is transcendent. He is in heaven. But He's also personal. He's also present with His people all the time. He is my shepherd. He is present with us. He is majestic and yet personal, away from us and yet with us. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Left to themselves, sheep lack everything. But with a good shepherd, they lack nothing. They have all that they need. And we, with the Lord as our shepherd, lack nothing. I read about a Sunday school teacher, Bible class teacher, who asked her kids in class one day if any of them could recite the 23rd Psalm. And one little girl raised her hand and said she could do it. She started out, "The Lord is my shepherd. I got all I want." That's pretty good. We've got all we want. We've got all we need. For truly, the Lord is our shepherd. If Jesus is our shepherd, then everything else is secondary. He gives us all that we truly need. If the Lord is my shepherd, then I shall not want. And if I want, if I think I need something else, then the Lord's not really my shepherd, because He provides all that I want. Isaac Watts wrote a beautiful song based, of course, on this psalm. But he says, "The Lord my shepherd is, I shall be well supplied, for He is mine and I am His. What shall I want beside? What shall I want beside?" In Psalm 34 and verse 9, the psalmist there says, "O fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack," the English Standard Version says, "have no lack." Contentment is not necessarily having everything that you've always desired, everything that you always wish for. But contentment is wanting everything that you have. And in Christ, with Him as our shepherd, that's the case. One preacher, in talking about this psalm, talked about how having a shepherd who supplies every want of ours is much different from the way the world normally behaves and how people normally think. He talks about most folks in this world being in a prison of want, where we want to have things that are nicer. We want to have things that are faster. We want to be thinner. You know, if happiness comes from something that you deposit, that you drive, that you drink, that you digest, then you're in this prison of want. Maybe you're hoping to change your feelings about life by changing merely your circumstances. It won't work. You have to change your attitude. If you think you can change what life is to you by changing circumstances, by changing the physical things around you, you're in this cell of discontentment, this prison of want. What you have in your shepherd, if you are His, is greater than anything you don't have in this physical world. So in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul speaks of those whose God is their belly. I've always thought that was a pretty interesting and unique term. Whose God is their belly. You think about your belly, it's Of course, what makes you hungry? You have a lot of desires that are centered around your belly. And if that's your God, if your belly is your shepherd, you're always going to be in want. But my belly is not my shepherd. The Lord is. And so I'm not in want. Proverbs 27 and verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. In this fleshly world, people will never be satisfied. They'll always be in want if the Lord is not their shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd, and because of that, we have rest and renewal. He provides that for us. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Sheep are interesting creatures in a lot of ways. They are not very bright. They surely need a shepherd. They get in trouble a lot on their own. But they have a number of behaviors that are pretty unique among animals. They're ruminant animals. They chew the cud. That's not all that unusual. But typically, they ruminate when they're lying down. And so if you see sheep lying down in a pasture, a lot of times their mouths will be moving because they're still chewing their food. We lie down in green pastures. We have food to chew on, you know, when we're at rest. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 148, "My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word." We always have basically a feast, and we lie down and rest, and because God has given us his word, food to ruminate on. We can do that in our minds and in our thoughts and with our emotion. He leads us beside still waters, the text says. You know, by nature, sheep are afraid of fast-moving waters and the gurgling of a noisy stream. Oftentimes, I understand that shepherds will make a little dam in a stream for their sheep to drink from, so there'll be a little bit of still water there, and the sheep will be able to drink fresh water. And if they don't provide that, sheep are guilty of doing things like, you know, drinking out of mud puddles where there might be parasites and bad things for them to get into. But the shepherd provides what it is that the sheep need for food and for drink, just as our Lord provides us his word and things like hope and his spirit and the word of his spirit to guide us and to help us. The shepherd has to lead sheep to that good water because otherwise they'll drink some nasty stuff. The Lord is our shepherd. He provides for us. He provides restoration. The text says, "He restores my soul." Sheep are careless. They're curious. And because of that, they get into trouble. They don't even realize they're getting into trouble. But the word restore, to restore one's soul, to bring it back to a good condition when it's been messed up. The Lord restores our souls to bring back to that former state. He renews us. He revives us. In Hebrew, the idea of restoring one's soul is an idiom for repentance, actually, where a person changes from a bad state of mind and heart to a good state. He restores my soul. So he changes us for the better in the inward man. Because sheep are prone to wander. As I said, they often get into trouble. They have unique anatomies that result in them getting into trouble sometimes. If you have a sheep that's a little overly full and maybe a little overly fluffy with his wool, he can actually tip over. And if he gets over on his back, he's not able to get up. That kind of a sheep is called a cast sheep or a cast down sheep. Here you see a picture of one. I was not aware of this, but if you can imagine of an animal You know, I've seen beetles do this, but I've never seen a sheep do it. But I understand they get on their backs and they can't roll back over. And so they're just there kicking their legs up in the air. And because of the way their digestive system works, if they stay there very long like that, gases build up in the wrong places and they basically suffocate and die. The sheep is cast down. It needs a shepherd to turn him over, to get him upright. How many times in your life have you been on your back, flat of your back, spiritually speaking, unable to right yourself? But it's the shepherd who comes and stands you back up on your feet. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. He gets me back standing upright. What a blessing it is that we have a Lord who restores us when we're down, who lifts us up when we're fallen. In Psalm 42 and verse 5, the psalmist says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." Just the appearance of God, just seeing Him, so to speak, in your life and having Him come and lift you up and turn you upright. It's a picture of what God does for straying saints, for fallen ones of His children. He looks down on us when we've wandered, when we've fallen, when we've become lost. And we bleat for Him, we cry out for Him. And He turns us over and makes us upright. He restores our souls. And He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. After picking us up, getting us on our feet, then He sends us in the right direction. It might not always be an easy direction. Jesus said that the way that leads to life is a straight and difficult way. But He shows us the way to go. He shows us the right way to go in life. The word paths here refers to some well-defined and perhaps well-worn path. It may not be broad, it may not be easy. But you can see it, and you know where you're supposed to walk. We need a shepherd to guide us in the right way because we don't know it. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps. But the shepherd knows the way. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. We need a shepherd to do that for us. That's why we need His Word. That's why we need to rely on His Word for guidance in our lives, because if we don't use it, we'll surely be lost. We'll surely be lost. His words direct us in the path that is right. The psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 105, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's the path that God wants us to walk. So the shepherd provides so much for us. The shepherd protects us. When we come to verse 4 of the 23rd Psalm, we see a couple of changes. In verses 1 through 3, the sheep are in the sunshine, and everything is blessed, and everything is good, and even if they mess up, the shepherd's right there to get them back on their feet and to show them the way to go. But starting in verse 4, the sheep are in the shadows. God not only provides for us in delightful times, but He protects us in the dark seasons of life. He leads us through the dark canyons. And because of that, we can have peace. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." One translation says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Even though. We're walking through a bit of a difficult time right now. And yes, we know of a good number of Christians, some in North Alabama, who've contracted this virus. There are all kinds of other illnesses going around, health problems that people are having. And now folks have lost jobs, lost incomes. The economy's tanking. All sorts of physical difficulties around us. It's somewhat of a dark time, not near the darkest that has ever been. And if the world continues, it's not near the darkest that will ever be, I'm sure. But it's a dark time. The valley of the virus. That's what we're walking through. The shadow of death. But we're going through it. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not really talking about the end of the road. It's talking about going through a difficult time toward the end. We don't have to stay there. We keep walking. And it's only a shadow. You know, a shadow can't actually hurt you, right? A shadow of a dog can't bite you. The shadow of death cannot actually hurt the sheep. They may be afraid of it. It's quite frightening. It's quite stressful. But it doesn't actually hurt. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55. Death, where's your sting? The sting of death is sin. Power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. So it's interesting, isn't it, that in passages like John 8 and verse 51, Jesus says, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. You ever thought about that? What does he mean? Don't we all die physically? We've known many people who've kept the words of Christ who died physically. But they didn't die eternally. They never saw death from that standpoint. John 11 and verse 26, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So whatever comes upon us physically, we're walking through the shadow of death, but not actually dying. Not being separated from the Lord, but still having His presence with us. And that's the next part of this. For you are with me. God's with us through all of whatever goes on in this life. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Notice, again, a little bit of change in the pronouns here in the 23rd Psalm. In the first half, David extols the virtues of the shepherd in the third person. He and his is how he talks about the shepherd. But now it's you. You are with me. Your rod and your staff. You prepare a table for me. You anoint my head with oil. When times got tough, at that transition in verse 4, all of a sudden it's not he. All of a sudden it's you. And the text becomes much more personal. The relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, between David and his God. Psalm 16 and verse 18 teaches us that the antidote to anxiety is visualizing and understanding the Lord's presence. David there says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So every time he's pressed with difficulties and distressed with things in life, he sees the Lord there. I've set the Lord. I've visualized Him. I can look to see Him, some translations indicate. He's always there at my right hand. As we've said already, by nature, sheep are nervous and fearful of loud and dark and the unknown, just like people tend to be. Fearful of loud noises and darkness and things we don't understand. The shepherd stands beside the sheep, is with them when the path is scary, and he frees us from fear. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The promise is not life without trials. It's that our trials, though real, will be experienced with God by our side. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's the promise God makes to us. And he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was a weapon that shepherds used to stave off enemies. The staff, a little crook on the end of it sometimes, might be used to separate sheep or count them, but also maybe to help them along the way, to rescue them at times, to pull them out of danger. These are comforting thoughts, that God's power is with us, His strength to defend us from enemies, and His help to guide us and protect us along the way. So we have His presence, and we have provision in the presence of our enemies. Psalm 23 and verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who are our enemies? We might, I think, when we read this, have typically thought of people who are enemies. And indeed, we may have some. Most of us do, maybe unknowingly. But there are a lot of folks who are enemies of Christians in this world today. Just if you're known to be a Christian, you got people that are against you in this world today. That's part of the bargain. That's part of being a Christian. And everywhere you go, when you enjoy your blessings, you're in the presence of enemies. People who really aren't on your side, who would like to see you fail, who would like to take you down. Kind of reminds me of the story I heard about this little boy. He was not really behaving, and the family was trying to come to the dinner table, and this kid was just carrying on and not cooperating, wouldn't even let, you know, the prayer be said before the meal. And so finally the father and mother got upset with him, and they put him over in a corner, put a little table there, set a chair there, put his food in front of him, and made him eat his meal in a corner. But before he got to eat his meal, he had to say a prayer. His father, you know, made him bow his head and say a prayer. So the little boy bows his head. He says something like, Father, please bless this food that I'm about to receive and eat in the presence of my enemies. Our enemies, those who are against us, may be all around us. And yet God blesses us. He's with us. He's taking care of us. He prepares a table before us. But I want us to maybe expand the concept of enemies here. In fact, there's a good reason to do that. If you go and do a word study of the word that's translated enemies, it really isn't a word that focuses so much on people. It means to be distressed or to be troubled or to be oppressed or to be squeezed in or cramped. And so the idea really is of things that distress us. And it could be people, surely, but there are a lot of things besides people that cause us stress, like viruses, for instance. And the concept really in the word is all of those things that would stress us, that would press us. God prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Everything that distresses and oppresses, that hems us in, God's there. My cup runs over. A cup that's running over, you've got more than you need, more than is adequate, more than you can hold. Those are God's blessings for us, aren't they? I'm reminded of the words in the time of Malachi where God challenges the people that if they would commit to Him and truly be devoted to Him and bring the tithes and offerings to Him that they should have been bringing, He says, just test me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be no room to receive it. Just blessings from heaven poured out upon us. Our cup runs over. No matter how difficult life becomes, no matter how stressful it is, no matter what we have to go through, And we're not done going through this virus yet. We're not done going through life yet if we're still breathing today. And there will be many more stresses if we live very long before it's all over. The Lord will still bless us. The Lord will be with us. We'll have more blessings than we'll know what to do with to help us through till the day that we see Him and His Son at His throne. And that's the last thought in the psalm, isn't it? For the Lord preserves us. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. To the very last breath, no matter how or when that comes. And then, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's great to be a sheep of the shepherd. It's great to look forward to going home. No matter the hills and valleys between here and there, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I guess the question this morning is, are you a sheep of the shepherd? Have you committed your life to following Him, to receiving His help, His blessings, His guidance, to relying on Him at every point in your life, to give you just what you need and more, to live a life that glorifies Him? Our appeal this morning is, that if you've not made that commitment, that you make it today. We'll help you. Jesus will be your good shepherd. And if you know what you need to do, if you've not been a Christian, if you're not a Christian today, come forward. We'll hear you confess Christ as your Lord and baptize you for the remission of your sins. Whatever you need, we'd ask you come while we stand and while we sing.